ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Shea Norling is filling in for Abdallah tonight here on ESPN 1000. Shea will be with Cap and Jay Hood tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Get a little shot or no shot at 8.
Opening day, baby!
Oh, no.
The best day in sports!
Take that, Sparkles! It's Cappy. I'm here for baseball.
I'm coming, hon.
All right. Thanks, Cap. See, here's the thing. I used to produce Cap Show. I used to produce Jonathan Hood's show as well. I used to be you.
You were me. Why are you so happy?
That
was a freebie. I mean, you just lob it up there, I'll throw it down.
I'm coming, hon.
And I'll say this. You are very feisty at this age. I don't think I was that feisty at that age. But I will tell you this. On the Cap and Company show, Cap would tell us opening day is the best day in sports. And he and I would get into it. Because my retort would be, did you forget football? The entire fall is better than opening day in baseball. I'm not here to take a crap on your opening day. If you really enjoy baseball and it's your day, that's fantastic. Do not tell me it's better than every other day on the sports calendar. Because it's not. It absolutely 100% is not. The fall is way better. Just give me a random Saturday in the fall, a Sunday in the fall. Whenever there's football going on, it is better than anything that takes place in the spring.
It's up there for me, I have to say. Opening day is near the top for me.
It's enjoyable.
But there's a reason, and it has nothing to do with what's happening on the field. Opening day, my entire life, my dad and I would go. Starting in seventh grade.
Oh, you go to a ball game.
It was the first year, seventh grade was the first year that my dad was like, yeah, you can miss school for this. We're taking you out for a day. We're going to the ball game. We're going downtown. Like, we're doing all the things. So he and I have that connection where it's, like, actually important.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy Jay and the man on the moon.
No, I'm just...
Jay.
There's a reason why it's important to me, and it's because it's like a connection for my dad and I. We go to opening day every year. It's spending time with my dad and going to a game.
It's very nice.
Yeah, that's the reason why it's important to
me.
It's got nothing to do with getting hyped up for baseball. Like, there's 162 of these games.
And that's my point.
The one we're going to see tomorrow is totally inconsequential for both teams in town.
Absolutely.
If they lose it, it'll be the first of many for the White Sox. It'll be the first of many for the Cubs. If they win it, it'll be the first of many. Like, the worst teams in baseball are going to win 60 games. The best teams in baseball will lose 60 games.
That's
a lot. The one tomorrow does not matter.
No, it doesn't. And then that's what the arguments with Cap back in the day. So maybe try and get him fired up tomorrow. It's opening
It'll
day.
Be easy.
Get him fired up for
you
it.
You just gave me the lead topic. What does opening day mean to you? And then I'll get into it with him.
He would scream and yell at me that I don't know anything about sports. I would yell back, as the Twitchers are reminding me, that back in the day, he and I would yell back and forth at each other. But I was right. It's not the best day in sports.
No, it's absurd. And then he has this ridiculous question this morning. What's better, March and April for sports? Or is it September and October? March and April, you get March Madness, you get the NFL Draft, you get the Masters, you get the NBA playoffs. September, October, you get NFL football, college football, you get meaningful playoff baseball, NBA and NHL startup.
I'm coming, hon.
This doesn't sound even remotely close to me.
Not even close.
One of those periods, I have football all day on Saturday and Sunday. The other, I don't. You know which one's better? The one with football.
Exactly. Exactly. You can enjoy it. Well, he'll also give you a horse angle, so that's a whole different
way. Oh, the Kentucky Derby. The it's Kentucky the best Derby. Day.
Get
the
out
F
here.
Out of here, man.
There's nothing.
People who sit around and watch the coverage of the Kentucky Derby for like 5-6 hours just for a 2-minute race.
God bless him. Not me. Not me.
Can you imagine having foreplay for 5 or 6 hours? You'd be over it. Come on.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
Guys, just go to break.
It's a little early.
ESPN Chicago.
I'm kidding. That's outstanding, Shay. Could I imagine? Yes, I could.
5 or 6 hours.
And you'd be over it.
Yes.
Is that going to be on the poll tomorrow?
5 or 6 hours. You bet your ass it's going to be 2 minutes.
Deal breaker?
I want to be done.
Deal breaker? Is that a bit deal breaker? Too much.
5 or 6 hours of foreplay. Your girlfriend,
too much.
Your girlfriend wants 5 or 6 hours of foreplay every time.
5 or 6. Too much.
Certainly not 4.
That's too much work.
Definitely not 7.
That's too much work. Who's putting in that kind of work? Seriously. That's a chore at that point.
Like, how bad do you want it? I'm leaving at a certain point in time.
It's an absolute...
On. Oh, the game's on.
That's an absolute chore. Although, you could probably multi-screen, right? You could have a game going. You could... I mean, you do multiple things when you watch sports, right? No?
I feel like I get distracted. Listen, a couple times in life. But there's always, it's a little distraction. I want to be 100% focused when I'm doing that.
Bob and Juliet, are you 100% focused, my friend?
Yes, I am. I miss you guys at 6 o'clock.
We miss you too, Bobby.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, okay. Is this co-worker next to you going to be on each night? Because... Please tell him to stop yelling, okay?
Bobby, what's the problem? What's the issue?
I talk to customers like for 8 or 9 hours a day, commute, and then I got to come home to yelling. I mean,
I know,
hold on.
Right?
All right, so yeah, please.
This coworker.
Okay, hey, I wanted to. I think I connected the dots for the Bears stadium issues. Okay, so stay with me. I'm going to connect the dots, okay?
Yeah, give it to us.
Mark Cuban.
Excuse me?
Okay, savvy businessman, sells a majority stake of the Dallas Mavericks, okay? He now only owns 27%, and he controls the basketball operations, okay?
For now, yeah.
Correct. He wanted to build a new stadium in Dallas. He didn't know how to do it because he wanted to do an entertainment center, hotels, gambling, all that stuff. That was what's supposed to be Arlington Heights, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So no one in the Bears organization has the bandwidth to do that. So Cuban said, hey, I will take, and you can read the Forbes article, I'd rather have 27% of a watermelon versus 27% of a grape. So he's expanding the whole thing with hotels, retail, gambling, stuff like that. So Kevin Warren doesn't know how to do that. He built a stadium in Minneapolis. That is it. I mean, you need a city planner and, you know, thousands of people on the payroll to do what Cuban is trying to do with the Las Vegas, you know, selling to Las Vegas. Okay, so the Bears can't even run the football operation. How are they going to run gambling, hotels, retail, mm-hmm. real estate, all that stuff?
So they're going to need a partner, right, Bob?
Pardon me?
They're going to need a partner in this, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? The McCaskies do not want to sell like Cuban did. So. Any comments? I'm just connecting the dots.
Sure,
happy to hear your comments.
Yeah, and Bob's right. Cuban did do that. So Cuban, theoretically, at the moment, is still the person controlling basketball operations for the Mavericks, but that can change because he's no longer the main owner of the team. So at some point, I would imagine he's not going to be that person for the Mavericks. And yeah, they're going to get a new stadium with a new development that's casino money that's backing it, the whole thing. I don't know if there's a partner there for the Bears to duplicate that here, but maybe there is. But the Bears would have to sell the franchise to get that accomplished. And I don't think on the timeline on when they want to actually put this plan in place to build this stadium, I don't think that's going to happen.
Also, I mean, Bob mentioned it there. Like, they hired Kevin Warren.
Yeah.
Like, in theory, Kevin Warren is the partner that you brought in to get this done. Because if you're right, nobody knew about building a stadium. That's why, really, you hired Kevin Warren to be the president. Right?
Yes, it is. I also think, and Shay, I know you follow this stuff. I think there's also, like, if you look at the way the NBA has grown as a product and the impending TV deals that are on the horizon and what NBA teams thought the new TV deals would go for, and then we factor in the new streaming era that we live in and the cord cutting and the fact that maybe the money that the NBA teams thought would be there in these new TV deals from ESPN and Turner may not be what they thought they would be. I think there's a slight chance that like Cuban was like, I'm going to try and get out of this a little bit early.
Then it might not even be early at this point. I mean, we saw what happened 8 years ago when everybody got the big TV deal money and everybody spent through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years later, you were stuck with Otto Porter on a max deal. Yep. And it's like, he's got to go. Like,
but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Mark Cuban is looking at the investment of owning an NBA team and saying, I want to pull back a little, doesn't that send a red flag up and say, like, hold on. This guy's one of the smartest businessmen that's right out there, and I know that that's coming from a place of just watching a lot of Shark Tank. Like, I assume that he's very good at this. He has a lot of money. He makes a lot of smart decisions with his money. That, like, when he starts pulling out of the NBA, and I know that these big TV deals are on the horizon, I start to question, like, I wonder if he sees that the league is going to struggle in the next decade with either the television revenue or some aspect of people not finding the actual product that's taking place right now as interesting as it was back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I think like rich people are not in the business of making themselves poor.
Right.
So when Mark Cuban decides he's going to take significantly less of a share of the team, I don't think he's doing it in the hopes that the 27% will be end up being larger than what he controlled in the past. I think he's doing it because he sees something is coming.
Exactly. Chris Black, Shay Norling here with you tonight on ESPN 1000. We're talking football at 312-332-3776. What is Ryan Poole's approval rating? We'll get into that coming up next.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Black and Abdallah on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Shay, if I ask you, what is Ryan Poles, GM for the Chicago Bears, what's his approval rating right now in the city of Chicago? What would you say?
I'd say probably 80%, right? How do these things work? You know, it is funny, Chris. Time really is a flat circle.
Yeah.
2020, we had Biden-Trump. 2024, we get Biden-Trump. 2020, we had Ryan and Matt in Chicago. In 2024, we have Ryan and Matt in Chicago.
Football guys.
So the presidents get these approval ratings. What about the general manager and the coach? The Ryan and Matt approval rating index 2024.
Well, I think if you look, I think you have to separate the two, right? Usually for the different parties, you have their ticket and the approval rating goes for both. I mean, most people really have an opinion on the vice president? The vice president doesn't really do
figurehead
a whole lot, right? So like, are there hard opinions that, oh, so-and-so is a failure or they're no good? I don't think so. But I think with a head coach, a football coach, there is that type of an opinion. And I would say the head football coach probably has a much lower approval rating than the GM at this moment.
What do you think, like the 40% range for Eberflus?
No, I think he's above 50%. I think what he did last year in November and December has gotten him to the point where people are willing to give him a chance for this next season. Although there are some that think that this could be a disaster bringing in a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator with a defensive-minded head coach, that your new quarterback, who's going to be the prized possession of the franchise a year into his career, is going to be looking at a new head coach if it doesn't go well. Like, there are people in this town that think that. So I would imagine that Eberflus is somewhere around 50%. I could see an argument made both sides of it.
I think we've gotten less of the phone calls of the, this is a disaster because you kept Matt Eberflus, but post-Fields trade, those came back.
Yeah.
If you were going to move on from him, you should have moved on from the head coach. So I agree it's lower. Listen, it can change very quickly, too, because I'm a guy, a week and a half ago, whenever it was, pre-Keenan Allen deal, I was watching what was going on in free agency, and didn't get anybody on the edge for the defense, didn't get a defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins was out there. There were so many options at defensive end, from Danielle Hunter, who we talked about a ton on the station, Wonum, also a Viking, you guys like Andrew Van Ginkel. There were plenty of options. Bears got none of them, and I was starting to wonder, is all of this money going to go to waste? The Keenan Allen deal happens, and all of the sudden, the approval rating skyrockets for me, because I can see the vision now. I can see the plan and the direction, and now that we kind of have the confirmation that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick and draft night's going to be a coronation, there's not any like smokescreen or steam around it. It's just going to happen. I'm close to saying he's probably around an 80%.
And this is where, as I tried to figure this out this afternoon, I broke it down in a couple different categories. Free agency, trades he's made, the draft, the head coach. And if you look at all this, Ryan Poles, since he's been here, the Bears have won 10 games. They've lost 24. But they're a rebuilding team. They hit the bottom of the pool. We knew this was a teardown. If you look at free agency, and this is why 80%, I think you might be low. And this is why. Tell me in these different categories where there's a bad decision that Ryan Poles has made. If I go to free agency, here's the good. Nate Davis, is that a good? He starts when he's out there, he's good, right? He's a decent player.
He's okay, yeah.
He's not bad.
I got to see him with a real center. With a real center.
Is he bad?
No.
Is Nate Davis bad? I don't think he. There was a lot of concern last year.
Can we call that an incomplete? I hate to do that, but like...
Andrew Billings, free agency, that was good. They gave him a new contract in the season. So that was good. TJ Edwards.
Great.
He was fantastic. Tremaine Edmonds.
Great.
Great. Who was the bad pickup in free agency? He hasn't missed in free agency so far.
Can we count this year? Because I am very concerned about the DeAndre Swift signing.
Okay. Running back. Okay. All right. We could put that in there. I don't think that was that big of a splashy move that, like, you have three running backs, you're going to use all three of them. If he misses on that,
not the end of the world. It probably won't impact winning or losing games.
But at the moment, in free agency, Poles hasn't gone out and spent for someone who was an absolute bust. Someone that they couldn't use, that was just a miss in free agency. If we go to the trade market...
Was Lucas Patrick a Poles signing?
Well, you know, I did write down in a separate category alone, center position... You get a bad from all three spots. Draft, free agency, trades.
Yeah, it's
because
just nothing's
nothing
worked.
Has worked for the center position. So, you know, after I went through this exercise, I put center alone.
The money's just inconsequential. Like, I don't really care.
On its own.
It's not like you blew up a $30 million signing. It was whatever.
In the trade market, Montez Sweat, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, all good. Justin Fields, good.
I've said I would have taken a warm body, so I have no choice but to say it's good.
And then on the bad side of things in the trade market, Chase Claypool, obviously. Justin Fields, bad? Justin Fields might be a good and bad in the trade market, right? We thought he could maybe get more, and then by the point when they actually traded him, we were happy they just got something.
If the process of elevating your reputation around the league actually works out materially, then I'm fine with it. But I do still take issue with the idea that you're going to trade him for less because you're going to do right by him. I don't think you owe players anything. Who in this league treats their players well? Who? Tell me who. When you see a league where guys restructure deals and take less money to stay with a team, and a year later they're cut, explain to me the team that is doing right by all their players.
It's
I just don't think
business.
It matters.
We go to the draft, the good, Darnell Wright, Tyrique Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker, Braxton Jones. Those are all good picks. Bad, Velus Jones Jr. So, I mean, if I look at what Poles has done, you look at the head coach, it's his hire, Matt Eberflus. 80, I think, is a little low. I think most people would say the approval rating for Ryan Poles, because on the bad side of things, Velus Jones in the draft, a trade for Chase Claypool, and not figuring out the center position. That's essentially it. Everything else he's done has been a positive, or it's been good to this point. And what he's figured out, I would say it's at least 85% approval rating.
Do you think, if we just put the question out, 312-332-3776, do you think Ryan Poles is doing a good job as the general manager of the Chicago Bears? 9 out of 10 callers would say yes?
Yeah, I think so. Even though It's funny, though, because out of 10 callers, you're going to get at least three of them that says that he didn't do enough for Justin Fields.
That's why I think it's 80. That, like, the 20% to me is not necessarily people who I think are being rational about the situation. It's people who are pissed about what happened with Fields.
Right.
Which is, again, not to do this show again, but it is the fault of Justin Fields. That's it.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Was he out there, though? I don't know if they did enough for him while he was out there.
I can't.
No, but okay, so
I can't get across that line of thinking, because if you think that Justin Fields got thrown into a bad situation where in his second season he had a rookie head coach and a rookie play caller and nobody anybody cared about as a weapon, then you have to also say that CJ Stroud got thrown into a bad situation. And what happened there? Some guys are just good enough to overcome.
Yeah, they are. And there are also guys that are good enough to, or they improve enough that they make some of those weaknesses on the roster not look as bad as they maybe are. And that's what being a quarterback in the NFL is. Like, not everything is always perfect. And that's where I go to the example of when you got to the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes stopped taking sacks. He found a way to get the football out of his hand, to escape, to throw it away. He stopped taking sacks. That was a problem for them throughout the regular season, and part of the reason why their offense kind of stalled out through different points of last season. They get to the playoffs. He changed his game, took it to another level. I know he's the best player in football, but it's just a good example of you can change the situation, and then boom, there's results at the end of it. It's not just woe is me. You got to do everything else around me. Danny Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's the approval rating for Ryan Poles? What do you think, Danny?
Hey, gentlemen, how we feeling?
We're good, man. What's up?
What would you give his approval rating?
I'm thinking 85%.
All right, I like where you're at, but let me give you one insight. All right, 20% of this approval rating in the negative comes from your Justin Fields fan club, which is wonderful. We love that, you know, people support people. That's wonderful. We know never want to bash people supporting people, but when you're a Bears fan, don't you want to support greatness? And I'm gonna quote Kaplan on this one. He wants greatness. It's like, go after it. Go figure it out. Go find it. So our 20% of disapproval, as I'm not looking at it as an 80% approval, because in my opinion, it should be 100% approval and everybody should shut their mouth. The 20% disapproval comes from your Justin Fields fan club, and that's fine. Like, good. But nobody cares what you think. Like, nobody, anybody, your boss doesn't even care what you think. And you go, you show up 40 hours a week and your boss doesn't care that you like Justin Fields. He's a player in the NFL. He gets paid millions of dollars. Have you looked at your checking account recently? It's not what his looks like. I'm just going to say it. Like, let the guy go to the Steelers. Let him do his thing. He's going to be fine.
Danny, you and I are wired the same way as sports fans, man. I've always said I root for teams. I don't root for players. I will never upset over a guy who gets paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game, not doing well enough to be successful on a team and getting shipped elsewhere. You get paid millions of dollars to play a kid's game. The only thing I'm invested in is seeing good football in Chicago. I watch all of these games. I spend time reading about this team. My time and energy as a sports fan is most heavily invested in the Chicago Bears. The number one thing for me is seeing good football in this town. It was never going to be with Justin Fields. We'd just seen it. When you're getting sacked on 10% of your dropbacks, I can't help you. When Tyson Bagent comes in and gets sacked on less than 4% of them, I'm not saying Tyson Bagent's better than Justin Fields, but it kind of proves the quarterback is why they're getting sacked.
And I think we saw the situations where it didn't happen. We saw games where the Bears were in it and Fields just took a step back, and for some reason the process of the play and being able to make a decision and to throw the football, it just wasn't quick enough. It happened multiple times. The offense just didn't work. And that final game against the Packers, that was it. And I think Poles knew it at that time. They knew that they can't compete at a high level with a quarterback that plays like that. Even if he's a nice guy, it doesn't matter. You have to actually win. and you actually have to produce. And that's something that he just didn't do for this team.
Well,
and so you move on. You get a new quarterback and you try and fix it.
There was the quote too about, and I'm telling you, like, if you're looking at the draft now and you're one of those people out there who's saying we don't want to get Caleb Williams, you want to trade back, get somebody else, you're thinking about Jaden Daniels. Ryan Pohl said this week a part of the reason for moving on from Fields wasn't just the financials. It was the way he played does not support longevity in an NFL career. When you take that many hits and so much of what you do is the explosiveness with your legs, getting crafty, making plays like that, traditionally your career gets shortened. So I think he's given us a lot of information without just coming out and saying it. But that's a big part of why you're moving on from a player like that.
And what did Caleb Williams make a point of doing and pointing out
at his pro day? I don't like to run.
He made a point of telling everyone he does not like running, and I'm a pocket passer. Chris Buck with Shea Norling here on ESPN 1000. We'll continue with your calls on the Bears at 312-332-3776. Your call is next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app.
In for Abdallah tonight. It's Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Did you see that McDonald's will start selling Krispy Kreme donuts?
I did see this.
I'm intrigued.
They have to make a McGriddle sandwich where the buns are Krispy Kreme donuts.
That's that would work.
Must.
Are they going to make
sausage, egg, and cheese double Krispy Kremes?
Are they going to make them in house?
I would imagine.
They're no, because if you go to the grocery store, you can purchase
a box,
Krispy Kreme donuts that were just boxed at the end of the aisle or in the bakery. They're there. So are those the ones that you're getting, or are you getting fresh? Because there's a difference. Have you gone to a Krispy Kreme and waited in line for the fresh donut to come off the little conveyor belt?
What's the thing
hot
they used to do with the red light when the red light's on?
They're fresh, yeah. Right?
Was that it? Because I
there's something with it.
I would stop in when I was in high school. I probably haven't been since like high school. But could it be like, you know, the KFCs that are also Taco Bells?
Yeah.
Could we be looking at that happening where like McDonald's will build Krispy Kremes on the addition of their building? So you get a McDonald's on one counter and a Krispy Kreme on the next?
Well, is it as good of a thing if they're not the, like,
no,
fresh, hot ones?
But, of course, they won't be. It's McDonald's. Here's what I think it's going to be.
McDonald's makes a lot of their breakfast stuff there. Did you know that? They do. They make a lot of that stuff in-house.
Yeah. Well,
which surprises me for a fast food joint.
But is it fresh or is it frozen? That's always an important question.
Depends. Like, the eggs aren't frozen, right?
No,
they crack the eggs to make them. The circle eggs that you get on your McMuffin or whatever, those are made there.
Every once in a while, you get an eggshell. And it sucks, but it's also verification that the eggs are real.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind that. I agree with you.
It's like ugh. And then you're like oh, at least it's a real egg.
At least someone's cooking this.
It's the, Alonzo Mourning meme. You're like, oh, eh.
All right.
Krispy Kreme, by the way, most overrated donut in the game.
Oh, I knew you would have a take like this. Thank you, Kevin Zipak.
You get a better donut at a half a dozen other places.
But will they be at McDonald's? That's the key here. That's the key. What do you think, Kevin? Do you think that they'll make them in-house, or do you think they're just going to box them?
No shot.
It'll be the ones you get
at the grocery store.
They're going to just send somebody to the store every morning to pick up a box.
They're going
to
be baking donuts fresh every day?
Dude, I'm telling you, there's going to be a way. Can you just drop them, like, get donuts, you drop in the fryer?
Sure, yeah.
A couple minutes. Pop them out. You got donuts.
That's how they're made,
then the
right?
Same fryer as the French fries are going to come out tasting like a large fry. Is that what you want?
What do you think that this is?
Yeah,
it's McDonald's.
Everything tastes like a large fry at McDonald's.
Kevin, I have news, by the way. They don't make fries in the morning.
But the fries are perfect the way they are.
They're not making fries at 7 a.m. when somebody's going to McDonald's for breakfast and getting a Krispy Kreme.
They're not fresh cut? Is that what you're telling me?
The worst thing that might happen, you might get a little hash brown taste. It's not the end of the world.
It's the same vegetable.
If you're going to do it, go all the way and get a sandwich where the buns are Krispy Kreme donuts. That's what I need. Sausage, egg, and cheese on Krispy Kremes. Banger. 1,700 calories to wake your ass up in the morning.
This is what you should do tomorrow morning. On your way in, get a McMuffin or something, and then stop by Walgreens, get some Krispy Kremes, make it.
On my way in?
Yeah, on your way in. You got Cap'n Jay Hood in the morning.
You think that they're open at Walgreens when I'm coming
in at
5 in the morning?
Walgreens is in 24 hours?
Hell no.
Not open in the morning? I'm sure you'll find a store.
Nothing. Does 7-Eleven have them? There's a 7-Eleven out by me that's
open. On your way in the morning, you have all the time in the world. I'm sure you'll find a place to get the donuts.
Getting here by 5 a.m. I got all the time in the world.
And I think you should make a prototype so we can pitch it to McDonald's. That this is what we should send you over to Hamburger U. It's in the West Loop. We send you over there with this sandwich already made. And then you could say, when you get the donuts, do this.
Here's your issue. Is you're asking me to, at 4:30 in the morning.
Correct.
Go to an open McDonald's.
Right.
Go to some place that will have Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
Create a sandwich out of those items.
Yeah. And
wait 2 hours.
Go over to the West Loop.
Eat it on the air.
And then go to Hamburger U, which is in the West Loop.
You are asking me. No, the big problem here is you're asking me to get to work, set this stuff down, and then 2 hours later, eat some nasty-ass Krispy Kreme sausage and egg sandwich that's been sitting out for 2 hours.
Yeah, for the show.
If you eat McDonald's fries more than 2 minutes after they come out of the fryer, they're gross. You got to get those suckers down in a hurry. You think the sandwich is going to last 2 hours?
And can you do it after 8 a.m. when I'm up?
Yeah.
So I can listen. I would like to listen to it.
Do it on Thursday and then wait to do it in the Friday folder. Then I'll be dead by the time I'm finished with the sandwich.
I think you should try it tomorrow. We go to Joey G in Melrose Park. Hello, Joey.
That's the best breakfast sandwich in the planet.
Yes, sir.
What Shay wants to order.
I'm telling you, man.
Sausage, egg, and cheese on a glazed donut. I used to make them 5 years ago.
Joey, did that wake your ass up in the morning? You get all those calories and all that sugar. First thing in the morning, you're pounding back 2 Krispy Kreme donuts and a sausage, egg, and cheese. If that doesn't wake you up, what will?
And a cup of Dunkin'.
And a cup of Dunkin'. There you go. That's a breakfast.
Yeah. So anyways, can I talk about Mr. RG3 or no?
Oh, yeah, by all means. Go for it.
All right. The bashing that he gave Justin. Number one, we had Ted Phillips sitting in the president's chair. Never mentioned. Now I believe we have a much more respectable president in the chair. Ryan Poles, I'm going to go with you, 85%.
85% approval rating.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. And nothing was said to RG3 about Ryan Poles. Now, they didn't give Justin a chance. 8 times it took him to try to get it in the end zone against Cleveland. Right, Jay? Against Cleveland?
Yeah, but
correct.
I think it was, was it 8 snaps or 9 snaps? Because there was a penalty in there, too.
They got it in, though.
Whatever it was, it was too many snaps.
Scored a touchdown in Cleveland. Banner going up.
It's all that matters, Shay, is getting it in.
So, again, can we put the cap on the Justin Field bottle, throw it in the Chicago River, and start the fuse on the next explosion in the NFL in Caleb Williams.
Boom.
Light my baby on fire, man.
Why do you want to light him on fire?
No, he's celebrating.
No.
Oh. Go Bears.
Go Bears. All right, Joey, like, thank you for the phone call.
I don't think Caleb would be very happy with that.
All right, Joey, there's Joey G. Usually Joey G calls in to complain about Cap, and then we tell him that he has to call Cap and Jay Hood to complain about Cap.
But what we just did was prove something. Joey G can never blame me for him not getting on the air. Here I am, and here Joey G is.
Boom. Richard, Oak Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Richard?
Yeah, hey, fellas, just two things. I used to work at McDonald's and ate iFresh. Second thing is,
Fresh? You cut out there.
The eggs.
Yeah, the eggs.
Yeah, the eggs iFresh. I used to work there part-time. And another thing is, we forget that C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback, but he did actually start way under 500 before he lit fire. So that's two. And the other thing is, yeah, we'll give Poles about 85.
85? Okay. 85% approval rating for Ryan Poles. All right, Richard, thanks for the phone call. We go to Leo in North Springfield or near Springfield. What's up, Leo?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, man. What's up?
Hey, one thing. Shay, better get some rest, man. I don't know how you're going to do it tomorrow morning when I listen to the Cap and Hoodie there in the morning.
Leo, I never know how I'm going to do it tomorrow morning. That's
Leo,
the story
you
of my life.
Why don't you give Shay a shot or no shot? He can work in tomorrow morning. What do you have for him?
Oh, goodness. Thanks. Shot or no shot for tomorrow morning? Trade out of the number 9 pick and pick up more draft assets.
Shot or no shot. Boom. One of your questions is done.
There we go. Courtesy of Leo.
There you go, Leo.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Can't wait to listen. What is that, 9-8-0-9 for that question, the third one up?
We're going to do it at 8-18.
Oh, 8-18?
8-18.
After the second.
Right. I'll be on the radio.
Around the NFL?
Yeah. Leo, what's up, man? What do you got?
All right. Years back, I actually was just a regular manager at Dunkin' Donuts. And my district manager came up to me. He asked me if I wanted to be one of the guinea pigs on a new sandwich prototype. Ooh. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So they flew me out to the whole Boston area, good old Dunkin' Donuts out there, headquarters. And I kid you not, it was literally a glazed donut. They would cut it in half, warm it up just a bit because of the sugar. Go burn yourself. And then they would just stack a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich on it. All right, here you go. Eat it. Let us know how it is.
They had to fly you to Boston for this?
Yeah, my manager flew me out. I was actually one of the top managers representing
his
area.
Nice, congrats.
So he was very proud of me. Ah, thank you.
Pretty good.
But when I tell you that it was, I thought it was just that. Sausage, egg, and cheese. Now we're going to do it with the ham, egg, and cheese then. But I'm telling you, I had more than a sugar rush going. I could hear my heartbeat sweating. It was no joke, but...
All right, but Leo, the question,
free food,
was the sandwich good?
100%.
There we go. McDonald's, like that, you have your answer.
Just like that Pat McAfee said, it's a 100%. You cannot go wrong.
Good but stuff, yeah. Leo.
Boys, that's actually all I had. Good stuff listening to you guys. Driving out here in Springfield. And go Bears, guys. Have a good night.
Go Bears. Thanks, Leo. See, there you go.
Chris, I'm confused.
Proof of concept.
By one thing in the story. Why was it easier to fly people to Boston, Massachusetts to try the sandwich than it was to just send some donuts?
Just make the
sandwich. Was it in a top secret lab?
Security clearance.
Yeah, right. God forbid anybody discovers that we're inventing a glazed donut, sausage, egg, and cheese. And also, do not tell your friends, not for air, ham, egg, and cheese as well. We're flying you to Boston.
Back in the day, airfare was less expensive. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Listen, that's a hell of a perk. Leo got flown to Boston
to eat some sandwiches.
I think it would have been easier.
Chicago's home for sports. Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. Oh, Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
with Shane Norling filling in tonight. Thank you to Sean Graney, and thank you to Kevin Zipak for producing tonight's show.
What do we got? We got a little update?
You can listen to Shay tomorrow morning with Cap and Jay Hood right here on ESPN 1000, 7 to 10. And also, Basketball U on Saturday morning. What time is Basketball U, Shay?
Basketball U at 8 a.m.
Perfect. Love it.
Saturday morning.
Sweet 16. Here we go. We got the games Thursday and Friday. You guys will react to those games. Get us ready for the Elite Eight. Can't wait.
It's going
to
be a very good second weekend in the tournament, I think.
I agree.
First weekend, I didn't enjoy too much because it was lacking the chaos. It was lacking a lot of the drama that typically comes with that weekend. But that sets up incredible matchups in weekend two. Just hits different when it's opening day tomorrow, by the way. Just hits a little different.
The Baseball Tonight chime?
Yep, just a little bit.
Black and Abdallah return tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8, right here on ESPN 1000.
Will Abdallah be here?
Tyler Aki filling in for Abdallah tomorrow night.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
I will say this. To your point about the tournament, I always feel underwhelmed by the madness. I feel like it's gotten to a point where it's such a machine and such a marketing tool that everyone assumes that every round, every game is this great piece of competition. And some years we do get great buzzer beaters. And it really felt when I was younger like you would get fantastic finishes that would all happen like in a row. So like you'd have games all synced up where the final minute would happen at one region, and then you're at the final minute in another region, and they all kind of conclude at the same time. Like right around dinner time, you get a bunch of fantastic finishes. And I feel like TV has manipulated the way the games are plotted throughout the day, where we don't really get the red zone feel of March Madness like we used to. And so I always feel a bit underwhelmed by the game. Like, I enjoy watching all the games. That's not my critique. I just think in the past, it used to be when there was one channel on CBS or only a couple of options, and they had to take you from game to game and kind of give you that
live look-ins.
Yeah, the feeling you get on a Sunday during the NFL season with the red zone. That, to me, was March Madness. There was no madness going on this past weekend.
Yeah, I think a part of that is, A, like anybody can be watching three games at once. Everybody's got three screens. If you can afford to live that way, you have it.
Well, if you have YouTube TV, you could watch all four games at once the entire time.
Even like the CBS Sports website, you can watch four games at once. So the multi-view thing and being able to watch all of the games at the same time reduces a little bit of that. This year, I think it was especially bad because so many of them were blowouts.
Yes.
And when all three games or all four games are on at the same time and it's just a one seed clapping a 16, it's like, okay. Like Bama murdering, I can't even remember who they played in the first round, but it was College of Charleston.
It was a
Bama's
no contest.
Committing a murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, Houston's committing a murder.
Easy
at
with the that, same with the time, Alabama team.
Like, oh no.
Easy.
Listen,
from
fair.
Last year.
Listen, fair.
Easy.
Fair.
Just easy. Easy on that.
This time it wasn't in a laundry basket, it was on a basketball court.
The access to it is better now, but I think the enjoyment of watching it all happen at the same time is not quite what it used to be. And that's just like an old guy opinion on it. It's just having the availability to have all the games is good.
Yeah,
it's just...
You've been pulling an old all day. You locked your phone trying to take a photo. You like divisions.
Well, get ready
for this.
You're
upset about the madness.
Here's the song of the night.
I want to rock!
Terrible song.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
We go to Buckner and Garcia. Pac-Man Fever. From 1981. This, Shane Norling, is your song of the night.
I don't have a lot of money, but I'm bringing everything I made. I got a callus on my finger and my shoulder's hurting too. I'm gonna eat them all up just as soon as it turns blue.
Got the bomb.
Cause I got Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever.
It's driving me crazy.
song. I requested to hear this live on the air.
Yeah.
You informed me the name, Pac-Man Fever. Chris, why is Pac-Man Fever the song of the night?
Okay, so if we go back to March 27th, 1982, this song by Buckner and Garcia cracked the top 10 on the Billboard charts.
Excuse me?
This song on this date in 1982, Pac-Man Fever, cracked the top 10. It was number 8 on the Billboard charts, the Hot 100. And it's the only song about a video game to ever crack the Billboard Hot 100. The only song to have ever cracked the Hot 100 on the Billboard charts is Pac-Man Fever. What in the hell is wrong with old people? Listen, this was a song that you were listening to on the radio?
The people had Pac-Man Fever. They were getting in their cars. They were driving to the arcade with a pocket full of quarters.
Two hands on the wheel, just getting ready for some Pac-Man Fever. What is this?
They wanted to do some eating with Miss Pac-Man, if you pardon the expression.
I read earlier today that the follow-up to this song, Do the Donkey Kong...
Excuse me? I was just making a turn of phrase. They are not. Excuse me?
Just missed out on cracking the Hot 100. It was only 103 in 1982. So this group tried to do it again. Could not do it with a video game song. But this is real. This song was in the top 10 on the Hot 100.
Good question in the Twitch chat. Pinball Wizard doesn't count. Does pinball count as a video game? There is video on the pinball machine.
I mean,
is it a video game?
I don't think so. I don't think pinball games are video games.
Fellas, pinball video game?
Pinball is not a video game.
It's its own category.
Definitely not.
It's like skee ball.
Yeah, it's its own thing. But video game. How about that? So you learned something tonight, Shay, that this song, this was a hot jam in 1982.
I got to tell you, it's catchy. It's high energy. It's upbeat. These guys are clearly bought in. This guy's singing his ass off.
I'm looking at the top 10 from that week in 1982. It's some real dire crap on there.
I know, isn't it? It was tough.
What would be a great bit? Audition for American Idol with this song.
With this song. There you go. Buckner and Garcia with Pac-Man Fever. It's your song of the night.
Turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind. Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, Lynn.
Shay, thanks for filling in tonight. Wrong show. God!
This is Chicago's home for sports on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.
Okay.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.